man might fire through the heavy windows. There were, of course, about a dozen Secret Service agents on duty in this part of the presidential mansion during business hours. To get here, most people had to pass through a metal detector. In fact, all did, since the obvious ones were a little too obvious. And everyone had to pass the quiet, serious scrutiny of the Secret Service detail, whose identity was plain from the flesh-toned earpieces that coiled out from under their suit jackets, and whose politeness was secondary to their real mission of keeping the president alive. Beneath the jacket of each was a powerful handgun, and each of these agents was trained to view everyone and everything as a potential threat to Wrangler, which was the president's current code name. It had no meaning beyond being easy to say and easily recognizable on a radio circuit. Vice Admiral James Cutter, United States Navy, was in an office on the opposite northwest corner of the West Wing and had been since 6:15 that morning. The job of Special Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs requires a man to be an early riser. At 7:45, he finished off his second cup of morning coffee, it was good here, and tucked his briefing papers into a leather folder. He walked through the empty office of his vacationing deputy, turned right down the corridor past the similarly vacant office of the Vice President, who was in Seoul at the moment, and turned left past the office of the President's Chief of Staff. Cutter was one of the handful of